If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There are failures you can chalk up to human error, and there are failures so avoidable, so brazen, they feel like the state itself committed a crime. That's what we're dealing with in Lonoke County, Arkansas. Not a clerical mistake, a collapse. And I'm going to pose this question to you at the beginning of this because I want you to think about it as we talk about it. And in no way, shape, or form, I want to say, am I accusing anyone of doing anything, okay? But I'm just making an observation of life. I have never met any or heard of anyone ever in life. I don't know anyone that protects a child predator other than a child predator. Do you? Have you ever met one? Does it exist? Because we're talking in this case about a lot of people seeming all too willing to protect a child predator, even in death. Start the clock on October 8th, 2024, middle of the night. A dog barks. Father wakes up. The bed where 14-year-old should be sleeping is filled with a decoy. Hoodie. Stuffed animal. Like a child trying to make it look in the dark like everything is fine. Nothing about it is fine because across the same county, a 67-year-old man named Michael Fossler, already charged months earlier for online grooming and contact with the very same child, is out on bond. This is not a rumor. This is not a whisper. Charged and out. Aaron Spencer makes a 911 call. He also makes another call, the one that lives inside every parent's body when a child is missing and a predator is free. A call to himself, a call to action. Move. He drives. He spots the truck. He recognizes the second he sees it. His daughter is in the passenger seat. The man who's supposed to be nowhere near her, but Lonoke County judge said, you can get out on a $5,000 bond with a no contact order. Yeah, he's behind the wheel. The same one who already preyed on his child has return and come back to get the child in the middle of the night. A no contact order might as well be confetti. What happens next will be litigated in court because, unlike the system that failed his daughter, the law will still do its dance. But the core is not disputed. Spencer tries to stop the truck. He forces it off the road. He gets out. He's yelling for the driver to get out. His daughter is sitting there. The man gets out. The predator gets out. And he tries to confront Spencer. Rather than letting his daughter out like he's shouting, the predator gets out and approaches Spencer. Now, if you're sitting there and you're a father, you're a parent, you're a concerned citizen, and you know what's going on here, and the predator has the child in the vehicle and he's approaching you, and you have a weapon, yes, you're damn right that's time to fire. And that's exactly what happened. And the threat stops. And the little girl goes home alive. End of story, right? That's how it should end. If this were the Lifetime movie, the music would play. Everything would be okay. It'd be a lot of therapy. But in the end, the right thing happened, correct? The bad guy is gone. He's down. He's been stopped because he pushed a family. He pushed the rules, he pushed society to its limit of what it would accept until it had no choice but to stop him from breathing. Well, Arkansas wasn't done with failing this family, and you're right, a certain podcaster here is going to talk a lot about it. Because before that night, the state had already made a decision that made all of this possible. Back in September of 24, a case called State v. Fossler was filed. The charges weren't technicalities. They were the kind that don't just raise red flags. They light the sirens. Internet stalking of this child. S, indecency with it. Possession of that sort of material. And more. Everyone who needed to know knew. The prosecutors, the court, pretrial services. The risk wasn't theoretical. It was a map. And still, the message from the bench and the state was simple. Go on home. A bond. Conditions that read through on paper and evaporate in real life. An order that said, do not contact, and a reality that said, no one's watching. The state took a loaded situation and handed it back to the person most likely to pull the trigger. Then, after the rescue, after the one person who actually did his duty that night did it, the state found its urgency. Not to figure out how a man facing that many child-related felonies was free, not to audit the signed off, who signed off on that bond and why. No, the urgency went into charging the father. Not, hey, this guy should have never been out in the first place. Let's go fix this massive abomination. No. We screwed up. Who else can we blame? What can we do? Let's go after the dad. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the current governor, you should be so proud. You should be so proud of those people wearing the big hats. Maybe you can all stand in a circle and do what you do best. Tell each other how great y'all are. Or maybe take a look inside and go, this was screwed up. We should fix this. The party of families and God and rule of law. This sounds exactly like that, doesn't it? Prosecute the father who saved his daughter from a predator that y'all let free. On November 27, 2024, the Lono County Courthouse told Aaron Spencer he wasn't a father who protected a child. He was a defendant charged with second-degree murder and a gun enhancement. The same system that couldn't keep a predator away from a child moved with lightning speed to put a feather in a cage. And when the public started asking obvious questions, how was this man free? Who approved these conditions? The courthouse didn't offer answers. It offered silence. In December of 2024, remember this name, Judge Barbara Elmore. Barbara Elmore, Judge Barbara Elmore, signed a gag that didn't just stifle lawyers, it reached like a tarp thrown over a car wreck. No one talk. Not the defense, not the family, in effect, not the community. Case file sealed, sunlight shut out. Don't anybody look over here! That order didn't protect a jury pool. It protected decisions and bad ones. It took 7 months and a trip to the Arkansas Supreme Court before that gag order was yanked off for what it was, an abuse of discretion and a violation of the very principles our courts are supposed to defend. The high court hit the brakes in May of 25. And for the first time since the actual shooting, the state storyline had to compete with something it wasn't prepared for. The truth! Oh, you don't like the truth, do you? We've already been through that. In our coverage of the Devil's Den shooting here in Arkansas. You don't like that. You get so angry, you call out podcasters in your press conferences where you talk about how great everybody is. But the truth in that case was it took us revealing the vehicle, who, where, and all the information you guys were too afraid to put out there to finally catch the man. And you put a gag order on that one, too. That one's a little different. But again, one of those things where let's not dig too deep into how we've been doing things. When you don't like it, make everybody shut up. Let's call this plainly what it is. The state failed first. It failed when it let a high-risk defendant walk on bond in a case with a child victim. It failed when it didn't enforce the very conditions meant to keep that child safe. It failed when warnings weren't followed with supervisions. It failed when the same man was able to make contact again. And it failed hardest when, on the night the failure came home, the father had to do a job that courtroom promises and pretrial conditions were supposed to do, but obviously would not. That's why you keep these people in cages. There ain't many cases of letting predatory adults free where it ends up good and someone else doesn't end up being a victim. Again, I don't know anyone that protects child predators other than child predators. What followed was a different kind of failure. Institutional self-protection, the most important thing, suddenly wasn't the welfare of the child or the recognition that a known risk blew through the system like a truck through a stop sign. The most important thing became the narrative. Keep the case quiet. Keep the outrage contained. Call the rescue murder and hope people forget who unlocked the door in the first place. The judge. You can feel the moral inversion in the numbers. The predator's bond low enough to post. The father's bond far higher. The message is unmistakable. We're lenient when you're dangerous and merciless. And when you embarrass us, oh. Dangerous. Lenient when you're dangerous, merciless when you embarrass us. Again, I don't know anyone that protects predators other than predators. Do you? And yet, even with the weight of the state on his neck, Spencer didn't fold in the role that they wrote for him. He stayed on his feet. Out on bond, he kept speaking through his attorneys. And when the gag came down, he took the long way up to the state's highest court to get his voice back. Then he did something most people never do. He declared he would try to fix the very institution that tried to break him. He announced he would run for Lono County Sheriff. The uniform worn by the same county that put cuffs on him. Is that politics? Sure. But it's a referendum. In counties like Lonoke, people don't vote the way cable news thinks they do. They vote with their eyes. They saw a courtroom say a predator could be managed. They saw a father do the managing the night it mattered. They saw a judge gag a community and a Supreme Court tear that gag off. They watched all of it, and they'll vote on all of it. And the calendar matters. The shooting was October of 2024. The charge, September 27, 2024. The gag in December. The Supreme Court's rebuke, May of 2025. And as of now, the trial is slated for 2026. That drift tells its own story. Early dates came and went. Settings were continued. And here we are, still waiting for a courtroom to answer the only question that ever mattered. What should a father do when the system refuses to protect his child? There's a legal answer, and there's a human one. The legal one will argue about seconds and angles and words shouted in the dark. It'll talk about proportionality and all sorts of things. What's reasonable? What a reasonable person believes when a known predator reaches for something and lunges. The human answer is simple. Bring her home. Bring the daughter home. None of his excuses. None of this excuses violence. But what it does is force us to ask who had power before the moment shots were fired and how they used it. Because this case isn't something where you have to have an excuse for violence. There was no choice. This was survival. This was keeping his daughter alive, keeping his daughter from being further preyed upon, abused, and having her life destroyed by this monster that didn't give a fuck. Prosecutors had the power to demand detention or to load a bond with real teeth, GPS, house arrest, active supervision. The court had the power to say, not this one, not with a child at the center, not with the risks of this profile. Pretrial services had the power to monitor like lives depend on it, because one did. Those were chances to prevent a crisis, and they weren't taken. So when the state points a finger at the father, it's pointing away from the mirror. Forensic people will tell you that evidence matters most at the point of contact, distance, trajectory, residue, condition of the weapon, injury, statements made in the moment, blah, 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 blah. But when the victim is a child and the risk is a man already charged in that child's case, the context isn't noise, it's the frame. It tells the jury why the parent in that ditch didn't see 1,000 options. He saw one, because there was only one. There's another injustice we don't talk about enough. What the system did to this child after she survived, she had to live through the night the state promised would never come, and then live through months where her own father was labeled a criminal for making sure she did. She watched a courthouse shut its doors and seal its files. She watched a judge insist silence was the only way to protect a fair trial. You want to talk about trauma? Start there. The courtroom can't pretend to care about a child's dignity in cross-examination if they didn't care about her safety when it counted. So here's where we land. You are free to call Aaron Spencer a defendant. The paperwork says it. I'm going to call him what his daughter will always know him to be, the reason she came home. The state had its chance to wear that title. It chose the other one. And when it wasn't the hero, when the state wasn't the hero, when it's people wearing big hats were not the hero and somebody else stepped in to do the job that they failed to do, they don't like that. And for anyone clutching pearls about vigilantism, let's be adults. This wasn't a father tracking down a rumor and playing cowboy. This was a father reacting to an active abduction by the very man the courthouse had already warned the family about, then let go. That distinction matters morally and legally. This was not vigilantism. Had it been, I'd still be probably making a lot of the same arguments. Because I don't know that I would keep myself away from the predator if somebody did this to my daughter. They'd probably already be dead. This situation would have been happening. I would have been in court and people would be like, yeah, that's vigilantism. Yeah, you're right, it was. And I did the right thing, didn't I? This wasn't that. This was actively going out, saving his daughter. Had the cops shown up? Had the cops shown up and ran into this exact same situation, this man approaching them when they're screaming, get out of the car, get on the ground, let the girl out. He would have been shot too by the cops. Would we have gone after the cops for second degree murder? Tell me, oh Sarah Huckabee fucking Sanders, how would that have gone down if your boys in blue had responded and done their fucking job? Huh? I'm not blaming the local officers. So let me back that up a second. It was the middle of the night. It's a small town. There's only so many. Police did eventually show up. I'm blaming, again, the infrastructure above it that bastardizes those people's names, the people who are out there trying to actually serve and protect. But then you're the infrastructure that does this sort of shit and pulls everybody down with it. You stupid fucks. When this goes to trial in 26, the jury will decide whether what happened in that ditch satisfied the statute. The rest of us have a verdict to render too. On prosecutors who treat risk like paperwork. On judges who confuse secrecy with fairness. On a culture of bond first, safety later. That moves child victims from danger to due process and calls it justice. The moral of Lonoke County is not complicated. If a system cannot be trusted to protect children, people will look for someone who can. And right now, that person's name is Aaron Spencer. The prosecution wants to prove a crime. The community wants to prove a point. And the point is this. The people with the power to stop a predator before that night didn't do it. A father did. Everything else is noise. However the law books record this case, the takeaway is going to outlive us all. When institutions forget who they serve, ordinary people do extraordinary things. In Lonoke County, a father did the extraordinary. And if Arkansas has any interest in rebuilding trust, it'll stop punishing the people who do the protecting and start fixing the system that refused to. The DA can drop the charges. I would encourage them to do such a thing, as would pretty much every human being that's not a child predator. Because remember, I don't know anyone that protects child predators other than child predators. I'm not calling anyone else a child predator. I'm just stating the obvious. What are you doing? That's the story. No spin, no euphemisms, a date stamp, deeply human failure with one person in it who refused to fail. Your thoughts in the comments section. Have your thoughts known even more. Share the story. Be outraged. Let people know this is going on. Because what happens when people don't know, like the state tried to cover this up, they tried to tamper it down, or Lonoke County did, the state actually said, no. These things are allowed to fester and take place. Don't let that happen. Use your voice. You have one. Take action. Let your voice be heard. Press subscribe to not miss our coverage of this case. We're going to keep following it until Aaron Spencer is safely on his porch drinking sweet tea with his family and not worrying about going to prison for protecting the life of his daughter. And we will continue to expose anyone and everyone who continues to protect a dead predator. Want your name on the list? Step on up.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.